So yesterday we were looking, and the verse we kind of focused on to start things off was Hosea chapter 2, verse number 14. This is as God is talking to Hosea. And he's using Hosea's life as an example to both Israel and Judah, who have both turned their hearts against, away from God, and are living in adultery. And so God has Hosea, the prophet, actually marry a harlot as evidence or to be a representative of the harlotry, the unfaithfulness of the nation of Israel and of the nation of Judah, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. And so as God is speaking, and since Hosea has done this, he has a few children by this woman that he's married, who's a harlot. And now God is speaking to Hosea to speak these words to both Israel, prophetically, Israel and Judah. And as God is speaking these words, he says, and he's talking about the references to Hosea's wife, but it's, again, representing the unfaithfulness of the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel. And he says, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her, bring her into the wilderness, and speak kindly to her." This is the heart of God, even though she has, and even though the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel have both turned their hearts away from God, they both turn to idolatry, God still loves them. And God says, I'm going to bring them into the wilderness and speak kindly to them. And as we were looking at that yesterday, we were seeing that the wilderness is a very common theme. It's a very common place. We looked at yesterday, it's in that wilderness time that the Israelites, after leaving Egypt, they had to go through the wilderness in order to get to the promised land. You can't get to the promises of Jesus Christ without having to. This is the way it goes. You have a promise. Once you have the promise, there's going to be a wilderness time. There's going to be a time in the desert. And then you have to go through that desert time, through that wilderness, to get to the promised land. This is where we so often we lose those promises that we have in Jesus Christ. Because once we enter into the wilderness, once we enter into the desert, to the dry times, once we enter into that, we get frustrated and think this isn't working. God didn't come through. I must be praying wrong. I'm doing it wrong. It's not working. And then we turn to ourselves or we turn to others and we turn our hearts away from God. That's what the Israelites did. And that's why not one of them, except for Joshua and Caleb, not one of that generation that came out of Egypt actually entered into the promised land, except for Caleb and Joshua. Because they gave up. As the Lord said, they were neither obedient. They didn't believe, and they didn't obey. And so they died out there in the wilderness, except for those two. So the wilderness and the desert is that place of example for us. We have to go through it, but he sees us through it. And you see from the example of those 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years in that desert, you see that God supernaturally met their needs. We recited yesterday, just look at the example of water. They're in the desert. By definition, desert is absent of water. And yet every day for 40 years, God provided water for roughly a million people and all of their livestock. That's impossible in the natural, yet God did it every day 40 years. He provided them manna, food. He provided them when they got tired of manna. He provided them quail. He made provision. When we're going through that dry time, that dry season, he makes provision for us. When we're going through that desert time, heading towards the promised land, he makes provision for us. He meets our needs. We're just expected to believe his promises and to obey. And that means you keep moving forward in him. And you will eventually walk into the promises that he has for you. But there's benefits to that desert time. I'd said yesterday that there's not one time in my life, there is not one example of a hard, difficult, or just outright painful time in my life. Bad time. There's not one instance, and that happens to all of us. There's not one of those times in my life that I'm not thankful for. Now, that doesn't mean I enjoyed it, and it certainly does not mean I ever wish to go back there again. I don't want to ever revisit those deserts again. But I'm thankful for it because I saw that God is faithful. I saw that he supernaturally meets needs. I saw his personality. I saw his love. I saw the demonstrations of who he is because I was there. I was there with him. I lived through it, and I saw what he did. And then I entered into the promises. So there's when you go through desert times, is it hard? Absolutely. Not saying it's easy. But we have to remember that God will meet our needs as we go through the desert times. He provides for our needs. And if I'll see it all the way through in him, I'm going to be better off, and I'm going to have a better understanding of him, and I will be thankful for having gone through it. Part of the reason that I am whoever I am today, whatever good things you would ever see, if you see any good things in Todd, it's because of Jesus Christ, and it's because of the things that I've learned. And a lot of who we become is because of going through those desert times successfully. We're either going to become stronger and more like him, or we're going to become defeated and overwhelmed. The choice really comes down to us. So we see the desert times. But now I want to see something else. Because it's during those desert times. I said that it's during the desert times that we get to see the personality, the nature. It's during those hard times that we get to see the character. We get to see the demonstrations of who Jesus is that we miss when life is good, when everything is going great. We're not looking to Jesus. We don't really need Jesus to do the supernatural. We don't need to see him do abundantly, excessively, beyond all that we could think or imagine. Because life is good. So we're not thinking about those things and we're not seeing him. We're not growing in the knowing of him. This is my job and your job for the rest of our lives. It's to grow in the knowing, that knowledge, the intimacy, the knowing of Jesus Christ. You don't do that when things are good. You get to see the nature and the character and the faithfulness and the love, the truth of Jesus Christ and the personality of Jesus Christ. You get to really see that demonstrated when you're in those desert times. Now, this is kind of interesting. I was reading something that a Jewish rabbi wrote, and this was fascinating. He said the Hebrew word for desert, which is midbar, is almost the same word as, and I can't even pronounce the other word, but it's very similar to midbar. And he says the meaning of the one is desert, and the almost identical word, the meaning is one who speaks. So the same Hebrew word for desert is very similar to the word that is one who speaks. And this is so true. It's when you're in that desert time that the one, the Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, your Savior, your Lord, the creator of all things, it's during those desert times that we're able to hear the voice of the one who is our Savior, who is our God, who is the one who has saved us and brought us into him, brought us into his relationship with the Father, brought us into victory, brought us into the kingdom of God. It's during the desert times that we hear the voice of him. Now, you can hear the voice of him through normal times. Don't misunderstand me. He expects us to hear his voice. You know, I've talked about that the last couple of weeks. He expects us to hear his voice on a daily basis. There's an expectation for us to hear his voice every day. But sometimes that voice becomes so clear because we get everything else, all the clutter is out of the way. That's when we remove everything else. It's in those desert times that we hear his voice speaking. And for that reason, we can also see that Jesus himself spent time in the desert for that purpose. When Jesus was here in the flesh. Look at this from Luke chapter 5, verse number 16. It says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Now, another word for wilderness, I'm reading this from the New American Standard Bible. And the reference that they give here is when it says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Wilderness, another word for that is deserted area or desert. Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness, to the desert, to pray. Why was Jesus going off to the wilderness? Because even Jesus, he's God, but he's God in this flesh. He's pure, he's righteous, he's 100% purely God, but he's also living within this flesh. Now, he's not corrupted by the flesh, but he is the flesh brings the same hindrances that Jesus had to overcome, that we have to overcome. We can only overcome it through Jesus and through his victory. The flesh is limiting. And so when Jesus, here in this flesh, to get the flesh out of the way, what does he do? He's going oftentimes, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the desert to pray. Why? Because desert. It's where you hear the one, the voice of the one speaking, meaning one who speaks. When Jesus wanted to hear the Father, and he wanted to hear the Father unimpeded by the flesh and the things of the world, what did Jesus do? Went to the desert. He went to that dry place, that place where he had to seek and trust. And everything else, all the other hindrances to hearing God were removed so he could hear the voice of the one, his Father. We look at the dry times and we bemoan the desert times. Listen, I know they're not fun. I know they're not fun, but see the value in those times. If you're going through a desert time, a wilderness time, know that Jesus is going to meet your needs every step of the way through this desert time. And if you keep your eyes on him, he will lead you through the desert to the promised land, to the deliverance that he has for you. And you will see his love, his character, his nature. You will rely on him. You will know him more. There's benefits to that desert time that even Jesus himself sought when he was in this flesh. If we look at John chapter 11, verses 53 and 54, it says, so from that day on, they planned together to kill Jesus. So this is the conspiracy. This is the chief priests and the Pharisees. They've already planned a way to kill Jesus. So from that day on, they planned together to kill him. Therefore, what's Jesus's response to this? They're putting forth a plan to kill Jesus. Jesus's response, therefore, Jesus no longer continued to walk publicly amongst the Jews, but went away from there to the country near the wilderness into a city called Ephraim, and there he stayed with his disciples. Now, this is John chapter 11. Clearly, he didn't stay there all the time. Jesus was waiting for the appropriate time to come back to Jerusalem. He was waiting for the right time to come back and fulfill the prophecies and fulfill what he was called to do. And during that time, what does he do? He goes to the wilderness. He goes to the desert times, and he takes the disciples with him. Therefore, Jesus no longer continued to walk publicly amongst the Jews, but went away to the country near the wilderness, in the desert areas, into a city called Ephraim, and there he stayed with his disciples. Jesus himself was seeking out that time, in that place where the flesh is not influencing, the flesh is not hindering. He can move beyond that. Move beyond that and hear the things of the Father and wait for the Father's timing. So again, we see these are just two examples of Jesus choosing to be out in the desert, in the wilderness. If you look in the book of Matthew, if we look and we see that the Hebrew word for desert is very similar, almost identical to the word for one who speaks. Let's look at Matthew. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus begins his ministry, in verses 1 through 11, this is just after. Chapter 3 ends with the baptism of Jesus, and then in chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus starts. And it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So the Holy Spirit is leading Jesus where? Into the wilderness, into the dry places. Why? He's facing the temptations of the devil. This is what the flesh does. The flesh in this world brings temptation to us. Jesus is in that dry, arid place. He is in those dry places where he hears the Father. And what did Jesus do? When those temptations come, he spoke the word. He spoke the word in response every time. And this is an example for us. As we go through our lives in this flesh, we think those dry times, we think those desert times, those wilderness times, we think those times are, well, we see them only as negative, only as bad. And they're not fun. They are not fun. I get that. But there is value that is in them. These are the times that help build the foundations for us to see the victories, the overcoming victories of Jesus Christ. Let me give you one other example. I talked yesterday about the Israelites in the wilderness. I just told you that the Hebrew word for desert is very similar, almost identical to the Hebrew word for one who speaks. This is awesome. Think about this. It's in the desert when the Israelites in the desert, in that wilderness, in that time before they entered into the promised land, what did God do for them? It's in the desert that the word, it's in the desert that the Ten Commandments, that the word of God was given to the Israelites. In the desert, they received the word of God. Desert, the Hebrew word for desert, almost the exact same word as the Hebrew word for one who speaks. God speaks in the desert. He spoke the word. He gave the Ten Commandments in the desert. He spoke to Jesus in the desert. Jesus went to the desert to hear clearly. To hear clearly the things of the Father, unimpeded, unhindered by the word. Listen, if you're going through a desert time, be encouraged in this. He knows you're going through the desert time. He will meet every need. He'll take you by the hand and walk you through the desert and meet every need that you have all the way through to the promises and the victory that he has for us. And it's because of that desert time, this is when you will hear and know. This is when you will see and get to know the personality, the nature, the love of Jesus and his personal love for you. We see that more clearly in the desert than we do at any other time in our lives. So if you're in the desert time, thank him that he's walking with you. Thank him and just look for him to reveal himself to you in powerful ways like never before. And you'll see him in those powerful ways as he walks you to victory.